This is the Todd Wright Toddcast. Thank you for listening. The Todd Wright Toddcast is presented by Brandon Legal Group, your full-service law firm. If you need legal assistance in the area of family law, Brandon Legal Group can help. If you need legal assistance in the area of divorce, Brandon Legal Group can help. That's just two examples. When they say full service, that's what they mean. And they do service the greater Tampa Bay area. Yes, home office is in Brandon, Florida. I have been there many times for various things as it relates to projects involving Todd Wright Tour golf tournaments. Was just interacting with the marketing director of Brandon Legal Group within the last 24 hours about tournament gifts for the upcoming sold-out Todd Wright Tour XXXI first Saturday of June. So I've been to the home office, but again, they service the greater Tampa Bay area. Very easy for you to obtain a free consultation. You just go online to brandonlegalgroup.com, click the box that says request a free consultation, or you may call 844-4-BLG-4ME and request that free consultation. 844-4-BLG-4ME or brandonlegalgroup.com. Brandon Legal Group, your full service law firm. My thanks to Brandon Legal Group for their long-standing support of Todd Wright Tour golf tournaments. They bought the first foursome in the upcoming sold-out Todd Wright Tour 31. We will be playing for the first time ever at a wonderfully unique layout called the Club at Eagle Brook. It's our first trip to Lakeland next month. We are sold out. We sell out quickly. But for future golf tournament information, you can email me at the golf address. It's toddwrightgolf@gmail.com. I'm scouting out another potential new course this weekend for a tournament down the road. I've already signed two deals for events in the fall that I haven't announced yet. toddwrightgolf@gmail.com. Our events are open to the public. Open to all skill levels, male, female. We are team events, but there is some best ball format in some of my events. Please do not make the mistake of referring to my events as scrambles. That is inaccurate. We do not use that format even 50% of the time. We are golf tournaments for people who like to play golf in an organized fashion and get good value. That's what we do with the Todd Wright Tour. Papa John's of Tampa Bay. Mike Lentz is a huge supporter of the Todd Wright Tour. He plays in virtually every golf tournament. He catered from his store on West Waters the last golf tournament, Todd Wright Tour 30, our Masters-themed event at Crescent Oaks in Tarpon Springs. Thank you, Mike, for that. Mike is bringing his boss, Charles, will be playing in the next Todd Wright Tour event for the first time. Papa John's of Tampa Bay, their stores are locally owned and operated and have been since the early 1990s. I wish Denny Gray well. I'll miss him at the store on West Kennedy. Denny did a lot for me. He's a good friend. He's a big supporter of everything that I do. And Denny has been promoted within the company and is spending a little more time these days up I-4 near Orlando. So, Denny, good luck. Mike Lentz, thanks for everything. And I welcome you and your boss, Charles, playing in the upcoming Todd Wright Tour XXXI. Papa John's of Tampa Bay is always there for me when I need a favor. And I wanted to feed some nice people at Bill Curry Ford, huge supporters of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. It won't be long before the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast Season 6 returns and we start planning our leagues for Bill Curry Ford. And remember, Rob Wright, who had won a previous year in a podcast league, won again last year, and Bill Curry Ford presented him with a check for his championship for $1,000. Sean Sullivan, general manager of Bill Curry Ford, has told me he would like to do something like that again for multiple leagues. Stay tuned. And I have a new idea for a league this year, creating a new league, sort of picking up where I left off, adding leagues 2017, 2018, 2019. We just scaled back and consolidated to one, dare I use the term, Super League, where we drafted on the showroom floor at Bill Curry Ford last year. For fantasy football information, email toddwrightfantasyfootball@gmail.com. I try to make sure I have different emails for your different needs. Golf is toddwrightgolf@gmail.com. Fantasy is toddwrightfantasyfootball@gmail.com. Social media. I'm Instagram at toddwright2121. I just didn't want to change it every year anymore. Twitter is the same, 2121. And I'm on Facebook as simply Todd Wright in Tampa, Florida. It is a personal page that I use for professional reasons. The last Toddcast I did was right before the NFL draft, and we had more quarterback movement just before the draft as the Denver Broncos acquired Teddy Bridgewater, who spent all of 1 year on a free agent contract with the Carolina Panthers. And we ran through the laundry list of failed quarterbacks who had been drafted or signed by the Broncos since John Elway took over the football operations. And all of them have been huge failures except one. And that was Elway was the landing spot for Peyton Manning when the Colts were moving on to Andrew Luck. Now that the draft is over, I was thinking, what do I want to be my first podcast after the draft? And it's just that Urban Meyer is going to fail. Urban Meyer has won big and has been damn near unbeatable at times in college football. And much like some other coaches that win big on the two stages of either college football or pro football, we all know he's a dick. Now, does that take away from him winning big? Depends on what you're looking for. I've always respected how Urban Meyer can win at such a high level while also hearing and believing the stories about what a dick he truly is. Well, now Meyer is making the jump. And we've gone through Meyer retiring multiple times for health reasons, yet here we go again. And his latest return is to the NFL and to the Jacksonville Jaguars, who have had extremely limited success since they came into the National Football League in the mid to late 1990s. And I was there for the good and bad of that, covering that team for the first 2 years, all the home games in its entirety for ESPN Radio before I started hosting weekend shows on ESPN Radio. I traveled every game day to Jacksonville to cover those home games, 95, and the amazing year of 96, where they made it all the way to the AFC title game, something they have done twice since, only to lose all three times, never reaching a Super Bowl. The first thing that convinces me that Meyer is going to fail is the lack of successful coaches with a college pedigree the last two decades. Now, we had a run, and obviously, I went to the University of Miami at the time that Jimmy Johnson was coaching at the University of Miami. I don't know him on a first-name basis. I was a fan then. I've been a fan for years, and I will remain a fan always of Jimmy Johnson, who's enshrined in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. You follow Jimmy Johnson and his two Super Bowl wins with the Cowboys before the divorce with Jerry Jones. The year after Jimmy and the Cowboys won their second title together. Yes, the Niners won that Super Bowl. That was the Steve Young Super Bowl Niners. On the other side, the team they just blitzed in that Super Bowl was the San Diego Chargers, coached by Bobby Ross, who was a coach that had made a name for himself in college football previous to the Chargers at Georgia Tech. Let me just click on Bobby's bio, but that's how I remember. He went from Georgia Tech. Prior to that, he was at Maryland. So he was at Maryland 82 to 86, Georgia Tech 87-91, Chargers 92 to 96, then the Detroit Lions 97 to 2000. Then after a few years where he wasn't coaching, he coached Army for a few years. And that was Bobby Ross's career. So in addition to Jimmy Johnson, you had Bobby Ross go from college football to pro football, and I'd say reaching a Super Bowl is successful. It wasn't as successful as Jimmy Johnson winning two Super Bowls. The next year, and I have my very strong opinions about this, Barry Switzer, who was tabbed by Jerry Jones to take over for Jimmy Johnson, the Cowboys won Super Bowl 30 with Barry Switzer as their head coach. Barry doesn't get much credit for that, nor do I think he should. Troy Aikman seems like a pretty easygoing guy. And if you ever watch the NFL Network piece on Troy Aikman, you will see how Aikman came to loathe the climate that Barry Switzer allowed to take place with the Dallas Cowboys. That, to me, is just one of many reasons I don't give Barry Switzer a lot of credit for winning a Super Bowl. Many of the same pieces were still in place that were put there by Jimmy Johnson and Jerry Jones, and Barry just kind of steered the ship. And I even, in later years, when I was still working at ESPN, Michael Irvin admitted to me, Michael did a weekly segment on my show because we went to college together at Miami. Michael admitted, when I asked him, did he have any regrets from his days with the Cowboys? And he told me that one of his regrets was that he was part of the team tanking a season to get Barry Switzer out. And his regret wasn't because he felt remorse about Barry Switzer. It was that they missed an opportunity to win another Super Bowl together, and they should have just kept playing, even though they didn't like the head coach. So you had Aikman didn't like him, Irvin didn't like him. The Cowboys would rather tank a season just to get him out and forfeit another opportunity to win basically a fourth Super Bowl together. Tells you all you know about Barry Switzer. Very successful college head coach, brought in because Jerry made the call. So since that run, oh, there was one more. A handful of years later, Dick Vermeil, with Kurt Warner as quarterback, the St. Louis Rams won the Super Bowl over Jeff Fisher's Tennessee Titans. Now, Dick had lots of roots coaching in the NFL. I still remember Dick Vermeil 14 years earlier. Do I have this right? No, it was different year. Okay, 14. Doing my math. 19 years before that, Dick Vermeil coached in a Super Bowl against the Oakland Raiders and Tom Flores. The Eagles lost that Super Bowl 27-10. So Dick Vermeil went nearly 20 years between Super Bowl appearances with two different NFL teams. Prior to that, to coaching the Eagles, Vermeil was the head coach of the UCLA Bruins for two seasons. Then he coached the Eagles from 76 to 82, the Rams from 97 to 99, then the Chiefs from 2001 to 2005. He was a Rams assistant. He sort of kept going back and forth between the LA Rams and UCLA for a handful of years. In 69, he was a special teams coach for the Rams. Then in 70, he was the offensive coordinator for UCLA. Then in 71, he went back to the Rams and was an assistant there for 3 years. Then he went to become the head coach of UCLA, 74 and 75, before he left for the Eagles in 1976. Point I'm making is when it comes to Super Bowl coaches, that run with Jimmy Johnson, Bobby Ross, Barry Switzer, and then Dick Vermeil, if you're willing to acknowledge that after Vermeil had been coaching essentially in the NFL for 20 years, but had come from the college ranks, went to the Eagles, went to a Super Bowl, the last 20 plus years, I can't find you another name who has coached in a Super Bowl, not just won it, but coached in a Super Bowl that came from college football and had success in the NFL. And there have been a number of college coaches who have tried. Now, to me, Nick Saban doesn't count. Nick Saban never reached a Super Bowl, but obviously has reached heights. It's sort of the reverse effect with Nick Saban and what he did at Alabama. The only people that remember his stint with the Miami Dolphins are Dolphin fans and people like me who want to bring up, you know, how Saban lied when he was asked about the Alabama job while he was the Dolphin coach. And of course, he was the head coach in charge of the Dolphins and had final say over the roster when the Dolphins looked at Drew Brees and his physical and said, yeah, that shoulder, that arm. Yeah. We're not on board there. We don't want him. And the Saints said, we'll take him. And you saw how that worked out. And Brees is now headed to the Hall of Fame. So for the better part of the last 20 years, you can't find a coach there's one, Jim Harbaugh. Jim Harbaugh is the one. Since Dick Vermeil, if you count that, because he came from UCLA before he went to the Eagles and then later the Rams, Jim Harbaugh. Now, Jim is back in college, and we keep waiting for him to come back to the NFL. I don't know why Michigan extended his contract, because he can't beat Ohio State. And it just seems like every year things get worse with the Michigan football program than getting closer to winning the Big Ten, going to the Rose Bowl, or playing for the national championship. So I don't know what Michigan's thinking by keeping Jim Harbaugh. And at this point, I'm not sure that any NFL team other than maybe the Miami Dolphins, because of Stephen Ross's connection to Harbaugh as a huge donor at the University of Michigan, would want to hire Harbaugh. You heard about the Bears a little bit this offseason. You heard about the Colts. But for a while, Jim Harbaugh had it going with the San Francisco 49ers. Ironically, that was with Colin Kaepernick. Although that relationship's deterioration ended up costing both Kaepernick and Harbaugh, and neither have been the same since. You don't hear about that when people talk about Colin Kaepernick. So Jim Harbaugh is the only one the last 20 years. So that makes me believe Meyer won't do it. Then came the draft on Thursday night. And if you're listening to this podcast and you were named head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars and essentially had control over the roster, you could have made the first pick, right? Urban Meyer doesn't get credit for that. Who gets credit for the Jaguars picking Trevor Lawrence? The previous administration, the previous set of players for how bad the Jaguars were to get in the position to pick number one, because we've been waiting for Trevor Lawrence to be the number one pick in the draft for a while now. And he did nothing to change that, Lawrence. So Meyer gets no credit for the Trevor Lawrence pick. You could have picked him. Anybody could have picked Trevor Lawrence. So the first thing, and I know we've been through free agency as well, but the first, to me, real sign of what's Urban Meyer going to do with the Jacksonville Jaguars was the pick they acquired for Jalen Ramsey late in the first round, because now this isn't a given pick. And what was the pick that they made? I'm not even going to use the name of the player they selected, because I'm not down on the player. This isn't about him. This is about how you used a first-round pick. You're the worst team in the NFL, and you use a first-round pick on a player to play a position that last year was occupied by your most productive player. James Robinson was the best player on the Jacksonville Jaguars for the 2020 season in terms of a player that started the year and finished the year with the Jags. You know, Fournette was dumped. Jalen Ramsey was dumped. The defensive lineman was moved on. It was James Robinson, undrafted free agent who was thrust into the role of number one running back once the Jags separated from Leonard Fournette. Robinson set an NFL record last year on a bad team that had nothing else going for it. Total yards from scrimmage by an undrafted rookie, 1,414. No undrafted rookie had ever put up that many tandem offense yards. I still love that term, tandem offense. And he missed the last two games of the season. I think it was an ankle injury. He rushed 240 times for 1,070 yards, scored 7 touchdowns. He caught 49 balls for 344 yards and 3 touchdowns. A 3-down back. Yet, Urban Meyer, with his first actual pick, because Trevor Lawrence doesn't count, anyone could have made that, drafts a player to essentially replace the most productive returning player on the Jags, ignoring every other need they have. The only thing that would have made less sense to me is if at that position, Urban Meyer had drafted, say, Kyle Trask, because he just drafted Trevor Lawrence. So what would he need Kyle Trask for? Actually, you know, it might have made more sense to draft Trask because we haven't seen Lawrence do things that haven't been done in the NFL. Robinson has. Robinson is a better NFL player than Lawrence based on the body of work. Lawrence has no body of work. So Meyer, ignoring what he already has, and for whatever reason, taking a player at the same position, to me shows he's going to fail. We also did a podcast a while back where I talked about the diminishing results and impact that running backs have on Super Bowl teams in the NFL these days. You know, I was just on ProFootballTalk.com before I started doing this podcast, and the headline read, I didn't click on it, Sony Michel could be odd man out. It was just a few years ago, the Patriots used, was it a day two pick? I think it was, because you had Nick Chubb coming out of Georgia, and you had Sony Michel coming out of Georgia. And Chubb's been terrific for the Browns. Michel, his claim to fame is the only guy to score in Super Bowl 53 in that dud of a game between the Patriots and the Rams. He scored the only touchdown, short yardage run, fall in the end zone. After the over-the-top throw, the only explosive play in the game, Brady to Gronk. So you think about the Bucs winning last year's Super Bowl against the Chiefs. Sure, Fournette had moments, especially in the playoffs, but the Bucs went to training camp and Fournette wasn't even on the roster. The Chiefs drafted Clyde Edwards-Helaire in the second round. His production decreased as the season went on. He wasn't a reason that they were the top seed in the AFC. And they couldn't lean on him in the Super Bowl. You go back to Super Bowl 54 when the Chiefs beat the 49ers. The Chiefs got terrific production out of their running backs in that game. But is anyone really saying that it was anything more than Pat Mahomes from an offensive standpoint that got the Chiefs into the Super Bowl and won them the Super Bowl? I brought up Super Bowl 53. You had the diminishing returns of Todd Gurley with the Rams that season. That wasn't why they made the Super Bowl. Gurley had had bigger years the previous couple of seasons. Sony Michel just happened to score that touchdown. He wasn't a big part of that Patriot team and now may not have a future with them. And you can go back to Super Bowl 52 with the Eagles win and, you know, backs like Corey Clement and Jay Ajayi, and, you know, they helped, but were they an overwhelming reason why the Eagles won that Super Bowl over the Patriots? Back to Super Bowl 51. The Patriots come back against the Falcons. I'm a huge fan of James White, but James White does most of his damage catching balls from Tom Brady out of the backfield. So to use a first-round pick on a running back these days, to me, doesn't make a lot of sense unless it's the only thing you need. And I'll give Pittsburgh the benefit of the doubt that they did it because they hadn't done it in forever. They had picked, what, defense, maybe mixed in an offensive lineman or wide receiver in there, but they hadn't drafted a running back in a while. And this time, they did choose the running back from Alabama. But for Urban Meyer to do it, when the best player, the best returning player on the team you inherited plays the same position, why would you want to take James Robinson off the field? And I believe I even heard this mentioned. I'm going to have to actually just type this in to make sure that it's real. Let's see here. Is he also on the Jaguars now? Yes, he is. Okay, so why would you want to take Robinson off the field? He's been in the NFL 1 year. He put up 1,414 yards from scrimmage and was hurt the last two games. He's a three-down back. He's all the team had. Defenses knew he was coming, and he still produced. It was his first year. You're not worried about him getting old. You're not worried about him getting hurt. You're not worried about anything. Why would you want to take the ball out of his hands? You are the shittiest team in the league. You have all sorts of other needs. Yet, I heard this and I still can't understand that this is the plan. That Greg Robinson will be the starter, but then will come off the field and on down and distance, the first round draft pick, a talented player, will play on down and distance, which will remove Robinson from catching as many balls out of the backfield. He had 49 of those last year, so that's like 3 per game. And then they're going to mix in Carlos Hyde, huh? Again, Urban going with something he knows. We all know Carlos Hyde's best days, what, 2-3 years gone? I just keep coming back to, why would you not pencil James Robinson in for first down, second down, third down? And sure, you need someone when James asks out of the game. But to me, that was another reason why Urban will fail in the NFL. Now, maybe he wouldn't fail if it was somewhere other than Jacksonville. But I would certainly hope if he went somewhere other than Jacksonville that had some actual talent that he was inheriting, he wouldn't make his first real decision to draft a player to essentially pull his best player from the previous year off the field for some new player. That's why I think Urban Meyer is going to fail. And he won't admit the failure. When it happens, there will be other reasons given for why he's stepping away from the organization. You know it, and I know it. He's used them before when things were going good. I'm damn sure, certain, he's going to use them when things aren't. The Todd Wright Toddcast is presented by Brandon Legal Group. Log on to BrandonLegalGroup.com to request a free consult or call 844-4BLG-4ME. And by Papa John's of Tampa Bay, locally owned and operated since the early 1990s. Email for podcast purposes is right.todd@yahoo.com. Thank you for listening. We'll talk to you soon.